At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
And good morning, everybody. Welcome in to Sports Daily on KFH. I'm Tommy Gester. Jacob Albrock will be joining us momentarily here on the program. Max Power producing the show. The KFH hotline is open all morning for you at 869-1240. We appreciate you listening however it is that you consume the program, whether it's live here on KFH, on the free Odyssey app and podcast version. Maybe you're watching the program on one of our many ways to consume the show with our video stream on Facebook, on X, on YouTube, also on the 12 News Connected app. Multiple different ways to join the program. You can also leave your video comments on our video stream as well. We can get to those as the show goes on any one of those social media sharing sites. You can definitely consume and leave your comments there on the show as well. I had to get the show started this morning because Jacob had a wardrobe malfunction this morning, apparently.
Yeah, sorry. I forgot it was Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday. Max sends me a text. I look at our video chat room and Tommy's got on a Hawaiian.
I figured goodness, I would throw you a bone, you know, figuring, you know, like every once in a while, throw you a bone and, you know, let you know I'm not totally opposed to Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday. I only own one. This is the only one I have. And I can't.
Well, it's easy. You do laundry once a week. You just wear it every
Wednesday. I'm not going to wear the same shirt every Wednesday. That doesn't work for me.
Well, listen, you can get more. Appreciate the now I'm out of breath. I've been like running around trying to grab one real quick. Good news for me is I have about, I don't know, 15, 20 of these bad boys. So we got it there. Thank you for participating in Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday. Happy Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday, everybody. I assume Max has on his tie-dye, which is his version.
He does.
Which is his version of a Hawaiian shirt. And we're here to celebrate on Sports Daily. We are wide open for you today, as Tommy was mentioning there. So get your comments in. We got some fun stuff to talk about. The Shockers. Tommy had a new assistant coach that has local ties that will be very interesting to hear about for a lot of people. We'll get into that. You had Jonathan India. Well, you had Brady Singer's return to Kansas City last night, I should say. I should call it. I think it'll be fun. It's not. Let's look at the trade, basically, right? India versus Singer. India had a couple of hits, but we can revisit the trade as India comes back to Kansas City. Royals lose that game last night, which is far more concerning. Now threatening to fall to or below 500 pretty quickly if they're not careful here. So we'll get into all of that today as we make our way through the show. Happy, what is today? Wednesday? Happy hump day, everybody. How are you this morning, Tommy?
I'm good. Short week. You know, it's one of those weeks when you've got Monday off and you know, you go through the entire week like, well, man, what day is today? Is today Tuesday? Is today Wednesday?
Hence the Hawaiian shirt issue, the wardrobe malfunction this morning. I was not thinking of today as a Wednesday at all. Not at all.
And everything on my schedule this week has snuck up on me. Like, I totally have forgotten about things that I've got going on this entire week. We kick off River Festival this weekend, and
That's this weekend?
It starts on Friday. River Festival gets going on Friday. I'm a judge for the Sundown Parade this year. I did it last year. I guess I did a good enough job. They're asking me to come back. So I'll be downtown judging the River Festival Parade. It should be beautiful weather, but if you're downtown for the parade, come by, say hello. I don't know if you knew this about me, Jacob, but I've got an innate ability to be able to accurately judge parade floats. That's something I'm really good at, apparently, because this is the second year in a row that I'm judging a parade.
There you go. I don't know that I have that skill, so I'm very proud of you.
Thank you.
Yeah, you talk about sneaking up. They're going to get great weather, though.
It's going to be really nice.
We're going to get rain tonight. It'll stay cloudy. Stay cloudy through Thursday, and then finally we'll see some sunshine Friday and into the weekend. So Riverfest is usually going to get rained on, so that's a little upside down. They're going to get incredible weather. Yes, Max?
Thank you, Ron L.
Yeah, Ron L. Williams with our forecast there on all of that.
More of a Ross Jansen guy.
You know, I'm also speaking of TV. I'm putting on my TV hat tonight as well. I will be on PBS Kansas on their pledge drive. So I'll be hosting that tonight.
Hey, wifey works there.
Oh, I'll say hello. I'll say hello to her for you.
I think she'll be there.
Yeah. So I'll take a page out of your book. I know you'll be on TV today as usual, but rarely every once in a while they ask me to be on TV. So I'll be asking people for their pledges and their money on PBS Kansas.
It is a crazy week. Let's lose track of time. I've got to travel for some meetings this week. I think you have Brandon tomorrow. So it is an upside down week. I know it is for a lot of people. Holiday weeks do that to you when you lose that Monday. But we're here. We're ready to rock and roll now. We've got our best Hawaiians on. I don't know if this is my best Hawaiian. It's Tommy's best Hawaiian. It's his only Hawaiian.
The only Hawaiian I have.
So we're ready to celebrate. The NBA finals roll through. Are we about to have like the lowest market, smallest market NBA finals of all time? Are we about to have the smallest market major sports championship of all time among any sports? We're about to have the Pacers and the Thunder in the NBA finals. The people that love to just stare at ratings for these things are going to have a panic attack here and that make way too much of that stuff are going to have a panic attack. We're at the Pacers Thunder in the NBA finals. I would love to see the futures bet on that, right? The Thunder were expected. They were one of the favorites this year. The Pacers were not. Like if there is a Pacers Thunder ticket out there, I'd love to see what that paid out at the beginning of the year. So it's not done yet. It's not done yet, but it's probably done, right? Like it's not done, but it's done, as our pal Jim Rome loves to, you know, always kind of say. It's like it's not over, but it's over. So you know, we'll see how that plays out. The Pacers and their star, very good last night. I can't believe they're up 3-1 in that series. I thought they had a chance, but I didn't know it was gonna be as dominated as it was. I thought, you know. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, I mean,
here they go again.
I think the Pacers have just proven that, you know, from top to bottom, they're a more talented team, and they've got the ability to be able to put their foot on the gas. And then it doesn't mean that the Knicks, you know, they're not in a position moving forward to be, I think, a force in the Eastern Conference, because I think that they are. Jalen Brunson has shown that he's clutch enough that, you know, they can win games, you know, simply because of his abilities. But I think the Pacers from top to bottom have just shown that they're a better basketball team.
There's no doubt. In this series, certainly. They've been playing the better brand of basketball in this series. We don't have Sharice Lada today. He is still out. So we will wait one more week to get the latest from him on what's going on with KU, which is nothing right now. Nothing is going on with KU, which is maybe what some people aren't super comfortable with. But we'll get into that. When we come back, though, Brady Singer makes his return to Kansas City last night. All the fun and fanfare that you'd expect. Royals fans were great to him. Everything, you know, all nostalgic there, but the outcome certainly not where the Royals want it. Let's revisit that Brady Singer versus Jonathan India trade a little bit when we come back. And probably more importantly, we'll dig into the concern level for the Royals, who are getting real close to falling below 500 here. And they're about to enter a stretch of games on their schedule that are brutal. We've been telling you, like, the schedule does not favor them here in the month of June. We'll come back. We'll have it at Sports Daily. Happy Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday, everybody. We're coming right back.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you, from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Question for our listeners: which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Time to get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. Happy Wednesday to you. Glad to be here with you. Boy, you want to know how you're out of shape? When the start of the show comes, you got to run up and down the stairs, change shirts, and you're still trying to catch your breath. We're talking, I don't know, 60, 70 feet, probably. We're just two models of fitness here on Sports Daily. These Hawaiians make us look like models of fitness.
I mean, I'm sure that the female population is tuning in droves to watch us in our Hawaiian shirts today.
I'm a little nervous about these days. We're married, ladies. We're married. Okay. Let's just settle down out there. On the video streams on Facebook, on YouTube, on X. Thanks for watching us, everybody, here on Sports Daily. All right, let's talk some Royals here. So it was kind of a fun, you know, thing before it started. Brady Singer coming back to Kansas City. Fun until the game happens and the Royals don't play very well again. Brady Singer was good. Brady Singer was very good in the game. He kind of shut him down a little bit there, Tommy. 7 innings, 2 earned runs. Kind of did his Brady Singer thing, allowed some hits, no big deal. navigated through it. He's very familiar with that start exactly in Kansas City. That's kind of what he did for a long time for the Royals. But he's always going to have a place, a nice place in Royals fans' hearts, I think, because of all of the players. You know, he was the one that was kind of the only one there for a while through that class. Now, of course, we see Chris Bubich being awesome and Daniel Lynch doing pretty well, but Brady Singer was it. Then they traded for Jonathan India, old school baseball trade. Both teams needed something. Both teams had an excess, they felt like, of something. They swapped him one for one. Well, if we revisit that trade, the reality is it hasn't been great for either team. Neither has a war above one right now, Tommy. They're both negative war players. Brady Singer came into the game, and well, he leaves the game, I should say, with a 4.88 ERA right now. And Jonathan India is certainly not performing at the level that the Royals anticipated yet when they got him. He is still getting on base a little bit, not to the clip that they, you know, that they traded for, certainly, but he's batting .227. No power to speak of. He's not there yet. We've seen flashes, but he's not there yet. So I don't know that you can look at it and say either team won or lost the trade yet, because neither player has really just been out of this world this year. So probably it's a pretty fair trade, you know, honestly. Like, they both. Now, you could also look at it from the Royals' perspective and say, would they like to have Brady Singer right this second? Probably, because they have two pitchers on the IL. But they also have Noah Cameron up. Maybe he wouldn't be in that scenario. But I don't think it's, I don't think there is a win. I think right now it looks like it looked when they made the trade and both teams added a position of need. Neither player is running away with this thing.
Yeah, I think it's a wash right now. And I don't know if, I mean, I think you could say that both teams got what they needed to get, you know, with both of their players. Yeah. And it doesn't mean that either one of them are performing at a top level, but it certainly means that they're, both of those guys are filling holes that, you know, the teams needed at that time. I mean, the Royals absolutely had to have a leadoff hitter, somebody consistent. And even though he's only batting .227 right now, he has filled a role in the leadoff spot where, you know, game in and game out, who's going to be leading off a ball game. And he's been able to get on base at a decent clip. That could be better, but it's been, I think you also have to look at it from the perspective of what they were trotting out there in the leadoff spot a year ago, where it was an automatic out at leadoff a year ago with all the different players that, you know, tried to fill in at the leadoff spot. And so having consistency there, I think, is important. And so the Royals were able to get what they needed out of Jonathan India. You would like to see him hit for a better average. You'd like to see him drive in more runs, score more runs, all of that. And then Brady Singer, I mean, yeah, like, the Royals right this second, they may have Lugo and Reagans on the IL, but I think overall they feel pretty confident in their pitching rotation, as they should.
Yeah, they do. And it's really interesting because neither player is up to even their own sort of average, right? India's been better than what they had last year. He's 20 points below his career OBP, but he's been better than what they had last year for sure. I think the part of that is, like, Michael Garcia. Remember when they made that trade? No, Michael Garcia wasn't even going to be an everyday starter, right? So they absolutely needed that spot, and neither player is up to their average. So it's just kind of the same, right? It's just kind of, both players are helping their teams. And if both players get to where they are normally in their careers, they're really going to help their teams. But Brady Singer gets the last laugh yesterday. Again, hadn't been a stellar year. It's been a Singer-like year, though. He'll have some really, really nice starts, and then he'll have some where he gives up the hits and they just fall, and his ERA will balloon up for that game. So, and Jonathan India is kind of the same. I mean, both of these players, honestly, had a reputation of inconsistency throughout their careers, right? Both had high expectations. Both were high picks, both all these things. Both have flashed. Both have had even seasons where they look like they were going to hit there, and then it's just been inconsistent. So I think both teams are fine with it. I think both teams would do the trade again, honestly, if given the opportunity. I think they'd, even with the injuries, I think the Royals would do it again because they've seen reserves come up and help them. So there's your opportunity for that. I don't think we're going to get that opportunity again to look at that trade head-to-head that way. But old school baseball trade. There you go. Singer gets the last laugh yesterday. The Royals lose 7-2. It was the bullpen game. You know, I don't know what the expectations for people were. It was John Schreiber who got hit the hardest in the game for the Royals. And, you know, whatever. I wish that it didn't feel as daunting as it does when you are, you know, throwing out a bullpen game in the middle of a series against a pretty good team. The reality is it means they'll lose now five of their last six series as they play it, and they continue to not play particularly well lately. And in a four-team race in the Central or an even larger field in the American League, at some point, I think we need to become concerned. I don't know if it needs to be right now. I honestly don't. But when you look at the schedule and you see Detroit, St. Louis, the Yankees, the A's, the Rangers, the Padres, the Dodgers, Seattle, all coming up this month, I think we could crank up that concern level from where it's been, just because they've got to now navigate this while they're not playing well. It's going to be tough.
Well, I think the biggest fear is kind of starting to come true a little bit. And I know yesterday was a bullpen game, but we saw it on Monday with Michael Lorenzen as well, where the pitching is not living up to what it did a month ago.
Perfect.
It's not going to, and it can't be, right? And like as the season goes on, especially when you're taking on teams that are pretty solid offensive teams, and you listed off a handful of them, like the Yankees and the Dodgers and the Padres, and even a couple of other teams, and their Detroit has hit the ball really well. You know, like that becomes a concern if the pitching cannot be as stellar, as lights out as it was a month ago. Part of that is the injuries at the top of the rotation, but part of that is just, I think the reality that it's really, really hard for a rotation to maintain the level of performance that we've seen thus far. And so all along we've been saying, hey, if the pitching starts to drop off a little bit, if it comes back down to earth slightly, you've got to have the offense take a step forward. You've got to have them balance that out a little bit. And we've not seen that. We've seen the pitching tail off a little bit recently. You know, Chris Bubich notwithstanding, he's looked phenomenal. And Noah Cameron's looked great too. But we've not seen the offense come in to pick up the pitching. It's been the other way around this entire season. Now we need to see the bats come alive to be able to help pick up the pitching when it's not, when it's performing at a game, you know, at a level like we saw in last night's game, where it was a bullpen game and they weren't able to do that.
The warning signs for this have been blaring for a month and a half. I mean, they have, it's just like, it's not sustainable. What we were seeing through the win streak, even, it's like, okay, this is awesome. It is absolutely not sustainable. Like, they're not going to keep winning games like this, scoring 2 and 3 runs a game. Not going to happen. Like, it's just, it doesn't happen for any team. It's not going to happen for the Royals. I'll make a bold prediction for you. Noah Cameron, in a best case scenario, isn't going to finish this year with an ERA under 1, right? Like, that's not going to happen. Chris Bubich is not going to finish this season with an ERA of 1.45. I think both of these are incredible stories. They're not sustainable, though. And so, Chris Bubich could absolutely contend for a Cy Young, but he's not going to be as effective as he's been out of the gates for the entire season. I'll eat crow all day if Chris Bubich finishes this year with a 1.45 ERA, but it's not going to happen. So, like, we have to leave some room for these guys to not have to be that pitcher all the time. We're seeing it already. The offense has to help them. Now, Salvi, Vinny are picking up the pace a little bit, right? Like, you know, Vinny didn't have a good game last night. Salvi had a hit, but overall, those averages are climbing. Vinny's all the way up to 255. It's okay. It's not like panic time, but the level of concern we should have for the Royals is higher than it was. The bullpen hasn't been as lights out as it was. Again, wasn't probably sustainable what they were giving them during that win streak playing bad teams.
And by the way, Bobby is slumping a little bit too. He's not hit well in the last couple of games. His average has dropped to 289 when he had been consistently over the 300 mark. And he did get on base once last night, but he's not hitting, you know, the ball, you know, quite like what we had saw earlier in the year either.
Yeah, and that'll come. And he's, you know, it's all going to come, I think, offensively. And look, here's the other, and I didn't even realize this per our conversation yesterday with Jalen Thompson. Apparently, Cags is playing the outfield in AAA a lot. So that will make you feel better, right? If you know that you can plug him in whenever it is that the Royals are ready to plug him in, and you can also have Vinny Salvi in the lineup every day, and now Cags maybe only has to be your 6 or 7 hole hitter, that makes that transition even easier on him too. So there's reinforcements coming. The question is more to me, like, in this tight race, will they be good enough? And I think that's the way you have to look at it.
Yeah, I think that that's, of course, the top area that you need to take an eye on. And it's really, the bottom line is the competition in your division, first and foremost. And, you know, we saw them scratch out one game against the Twins over the weekend, but you've got Detroit coming up. And, man, I'll tell you what, like, if we thought playing the Twins on the road in Minnesota was going to be difficult, wait until you're taking on the team that's got the best record in Major League Baseball in your division. It certainly does not get any easier at all for the Royals, and you've got to have a little bit of compensation, like, because, like we've talked about, we've started to see some cracks in the foundation a little bit, and that foundation has been dominant and stellar starting pitching, and the offense doing just enough to scratch out wins. And as you mentioned, that's just not sustainable, especially against some of the top teams in the league.
They're 7 games back. It is May still. They're in 4th place in the division. They are now out of the wild card because they would be, let's see, it'd be 1, 2, 3. Yeah. Yeah. They'd be out of the wild card today because Houston is now all of a sudden heating up, and they're on their record is better. So you'd be looking at Yankees, Tigers, Mariners, Twins, Guardians, Houston. Like, Kansas City's now not, they're now on the outside looking in. That's like, you got to, and again, this would all be fine if they weren't about to play the schedule they're about to play in the month of June. And it really, like, if you look up and down, like, it gets better in July, certainly, but not that much better. Like, there aren't enough bad teams in the American League for you to ever look at another stretch like you had there when they got on that win streak, where you're going to play consistently just a bunch of bad teams in a row. There are barely bad teams in the league. There just aren't very many. There's like 2. You've got the White Sox that are really bad, and you've got the Orioles that are really bad right now. Are you going to say that the Angels at 4 games under 500 are really bad right now? No. Like, the A's are, I suppose you could say, a really bad team. I don't subscribe to that. They're not very good, but I wouldn't say they're really bad. They're just, you're not going to have a stretch like that where you can go through and be like, oh, okay, all right, sigh of relief here. We're about to play a week of games against Sabat. It just doesn't happen the rest of the way. The Royals now are basically only playing playoff caliber teams pretty much every series the rest of the season.
Yeah, and look, I think that knowing that the schedule is the way that it is, and then also knowing what they have waiting for them in AAA to be called up in Jack Caglione. I mean, I've been a believer all along that the Royals have needed to be patient with Cags and let him get his, you know, feet underneath them in AAA and not rush the development and not let the burning needs of the big league club influence what they do. I mean, I felt that all along, but then I've also felt like, yeah, the current lineup, it's going to come along and they're going to start to score some runs to, you know, maybe where Cags isn't quite as desperately needed. And that hasn't happened. And so knowing the way that the offense continues to sputter along as far as scoring runs is concerned, also knowing what their schedule entails in the month of June, and that leads me to believe, like, I'm more on the bandwagon of let's go ahead and get Cags called up now. I mean, as quickly as possible now in advance of this really tough stretch in the month of June, because this month, I think, can make or break the postseason prospects for the Royals for sure, based on who they're playing. They need reinforcements, and Cags is hitting the cover off the baseball right now. And I think that, you know, unfortunately, I don't think the Royals quite have the luxury to be able to let Cags get his feet wet in the big leagues first and dip his toe in the water. You're getting thrown right into the fire, which is not ideal, but it might be necessary.
I think it's fine. I will say, if he's going to play some outfield, which is what they should have been doing, like, I'm okay with being patient with that for a week or two. I'm also okay with making sure you don't lose that year of service time. That, again, You can't go, like, when we're talking about a year of free agency, if you project him out and all, like, you can't lose that if you're a small market team. That and as frustrating as that is, and the Royals again would never say this or anything else, that's absolutely the reality for this franchise. Like, you can't do that. So they do have to be careful. And then part of it is like, yeah, if you're going to teach him how to play outfield, do that in AAA. That's okay. How about this for you, Tommy? You're just looking at the schedule. How many times in the next eight games, do you think the Royals will face a pitcher with an ERA basically above 350?
One time.
Twice. So, like, again, like, you look at that and you're like, man, this offense, which is already struggling, in six of their next eight games are going to go up against good starting pitching. That's not promising when you look at it based on what we've seen lately. It's just not. So continue to hope that Vinny and Salvi can wake up and start driving in runs like crazy, like they did a year ago, that Bobby turns it around. You get the middle of the lineup back and just kind of cross your fingers, hold your breath, clench the butts and hope that the Royals can just kind of hang on before they can get some reinforcements in here, because they're going to need some reinforcements. I mean, there's no doubt about it. They do. They need them back.
And look, you absolutely have to have today's game. You have to. I mean, you can't get swept by the Reds at home. You want to talk about deflating.
Against Hunter Green tonight.
And I'm just, if you can, I know they're not going to win the series, obviously, after last night, but you've got to at least salvage a game at home at Kauffman against a team that, Terry Francona's got them playing well, but it's not like they're not a world beater, that they're not probably a World Series contender. You've got to at least get one of these games from the Reds tonight at home. You can't let them sweep at Kauffman.
I believe they have the same record as the Royals, I think, right now, after last night's win. So, this is the joy of good baseball. You get really frustrated and anxious, and thankfully we've had that for the Royals. If you missed any of our conversation there on Kansas City, you can go back and listen on the Odyssey app and get all caught up. Tommy, the Shockers add a coach. Didn't know they were looking for one, but they are. Quincy Acey is stepping away. Josh Eiler. How about that name? Now, that's a name that will be familiar to people probably if you're a Big 12 basketball fan, if you K-State, KU fan. A, Josh Eiler's K-State grad, grew up in Kansas, from Osborne. A real interesting last couple of years for him. So he was on Bob Huggins' staff forever, and when Huggy Bear got in all that trouble, Eiler stepped in and became the interim head coach at West Virginia, and then went to Utah to be an assistant. They fired their coach, and the next season he became the interim head coach at Utah. So now he is an assistant coach with Wichita State. I'm sure glad to be just kind of like settled in a little bit here. We might try to get him in here, but what a wild ride it's been for him. And, seemingly a guy with that kind of run and experience, he's going to be very handy for Paul Mills on his staff.
Yeah. I mean, he's had just a crazy couple of years. And has kind of become that guy that you think about when a coach gets fired. He steps in to be the interim head coach. And what he did with that West Virginia team a couple of years ago, I mean, they were bad. They were really, really, really bad in the wake of Bob Huggins.
All the players left.
All the players left. I mean, like, all with all the drama with Huggins and all of that, Eiler did a phenomenal job of steadying the ship. Ultimately for Darren DeVries to come in, and now DeVries has gone too, going to Indiana. But I mean, Eiler did a really good job of stabilizing things, even though their record didn't indicate it at the time. But he's kind of gotten that reputation of the interim guy that, is the assistant and then comes in and takes over temporarily to steady the ship, until they get a new coach, until whatever program gets a new coach. So I'm sure that for him, it's nice to get into a program that, seems to be pretty stable and no danger of that sort of thing happening. And he gets to come back to the state of Kansas, which is great. I mean, I remember him being at Kansas State. I remember him being on staff there for a season or two before he followed Huggins to West Virginia from Kansas State. And he's done a really good job in his career.
Yeah, it's been an interesting. It's one of those careers that you really like, right? Like it's not traditional. It reminds me of Eric Spoelstra Remember, I was just like this video coordinator. Yeah. So sometimes when you're just around it a long time, like you're really, like you're good at it, right? And you've been around Bob Huggins. And look, I don't know what responsibilities and what roles he'll take on with Paul Mills' staff or anything, but if, you know, Quincy Acey, who's been with Mills, they've, you know, known each other, they have the, all the connections. If he's going to step away to be able to go get Eilert, who not only is it nice because of the wealth of experience he's built up over the past few years, he's a Kansas guy, right? Like I can almost guarantee you this will be a fun experience for him one way or the other. Like that last couple of years for him, like emotionally and physically and like has to just be insanely intense. And now you get to come back and try and help redo this thing that does matter to the state of Kansas, right? Like we say this all the time. You might be a K-State fan. You might be a KU fan. Kind of everybody wants the Shockers to be good, right? It's just people rally the Shockers a little bit, unless you're playing head to head. And I get all that, but I think he'll help them. I think it's a sneaky good thing for this program. I think Paul Mills needs the help. Every coach in America needs the help right now. Like you have to now acclimate it, basically an entire new roster in a summer. That's almost every team across the country is doing this. Here's a bunch of new faces. Hope they fit together, because you only have a couple of months to get that figured out.
And it's very nearly a brand new coaching staff too. I mean, remember PJ Cousinard is on staff now. He replaced TJ Cleveland. And you know, so Cousinard is returning to Wichita State. You've got Josh Eilert returning to the state of Kansas, joining the staff. So not only is it a brand new roster, but by and large, it's a brand new coaching staff too.
You're going to have people bought in on that staff to what it means to be Shocker basketball and to be good and to, you know, to do all of those things. And, you know, we'll see. Ultimately, it's going to come down to the players and do the players all fit together and, you know, all of these. And so I think that we're to the point. I think it's fair to be excited about next season. Expectations are going to be impossible. I think you can look at it and just say, like, this wasn't one of those years for Memphis, right, where they just have acquired all this talent. This wasn't the year Memphis basically went and poached all the great players from the rest of the league. Does that create an opportunity for Wichita State? I mean, I think it does. I think it absolutely does. Now, Wichita State has to turn everybody over. I don't even know. Like, how do you set expectations in the American Athletic Conference this year? Like, I don't vote on that stuff for the AAC. I mean, who knows? Like, how do you even do that? How do you even sit here and say, you know what? This is the team favored to win this league this year. I have absolutely no idea.
I don't think you can put any stock into it, even for those who do get votes. And honestly, even the coaches, when the coaches will do their preseason polls, how are the coaches going to know, like, what the other teams in the conference
at
are going to look like?
They probably know the players, maybe.
Some of them probably, but probably not in the players playing on that particular team and how it all works together. I mean, they can probably give a little bit more of an educated guess than the media can, but the media doesn't know. I mean, it's just a shot in the dark as we're putting together preseason polls and talking about how teams are going to be ranked in the preseason and all of that. I mean, it just is impossible. It's impossible to be able to give any kind of, you know, decent look at what might happen or might not happen. It's impossible.
So just looking at Memphis does have, they've got 4-star transfers. Of course, they got Doug McDaniel. But I don't think they're replacing what is outgoing, at least in my opinion. Danger isn't going to be there. Haggerty's not going to be there. Tyreek Smith, we saw go to K-State. So it's been a little strange, but like, I don't think they'll be as good, although they did a good job. They got basically players from, you know, all over the map. They've done it a bunch of different ways. So I'm just looking at team rankings here. They've got the leg up right now. Wichita State is 9 out of 9. So according to 24/7, Wichita State's 9 out of 9. Now, that's mostly because the players that they brought in are like not in the rankings in a lot of cases. You know, some of the younger players, they're also not counting, and maybe we don't have official signings on some of the newer transfers here to the list I'm looking at. Although I don't think it's going to change that much. So I don't believe that. I don't buy that. I don't subscribe to that. But again, we're trying anything we can to find, create, understand expectations. I think it's all up in the air, which is why I like bringing in a coach like Josh Eiler, which is why I like bringing in PJ Cousinard. We'll see what, you know, Cousinard has a learning curve here, right? Like to be a high level college assistant basketball coach, but he's got connections to these players, which you like. Eiler has had to be a head coach now in the Big 12 back-to-back years in really rocky situations. So like almost no matter what happens this year, it's not like it's going to be too big to look down the bench and have that guy be like, you know what? It's going to be fine. Like, here's how we navigate this. West Virginia was a mess when he had to take over because of the circumstances. Utah just fired a coach, right? Like that's not going to get too big. So I think, you know, it just makes a lot of sense to have him here. I'm glad he's here. I'm glad he wanted to be here.
You know who it reminds me of a little bit as far as Josh Eiler is concerned? It's not exactly similar, but it's kind of in the same realm as when Isaac Brown hired Billy Kennedy. Remember when Billy Kennedy was on the sideline?
I thought the same thing.
You know, and Billy Kennedy had years of head coaching experience, and Josh Eiler and Billy Kennedy don't have the same career path at all. Right. Like, I'm not trying to say that they are, because Billy Kennedy coached as a head coach for a long time, and Isaac Brown was a rookie head coach, had never done it before. Isaac Brown and Paul Mills are not the same either as their career trajectory is concerned, but having experience, head coaching experience, on your bench to be able to look down and you know, if you need advice or if you need somebody to, you know, check in with. I'm sure that Paul Mills appreciates having that. And not only having Eilert's experience in the Big 12, but also having PJ Cousinard's experience with some of these players and being able to relate to them, I think is invaluable as well. It's not a knock on the guys that Eilert and Cousinard are replacing, but I think by and large, this coaching staff is going to be better this year than it has been in Paul Mills' entire tenure at Wichita State.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard to say. I don't know if it'll be better, but I think it'll be very helpful this year. I think it'll be very helpful to have. Yeah, it will be better. That's a good question. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that, but I know that I like why both of these guys are here. At least what I assume would be the reasons that they're here. I like both of those things. Boy, I hope these players can buy in and fit together. I mean, we're wondering that about everybody, right? Like that's the thing that's different for me this offseason than I think the last two or three, is it's not only the Shockers dealing with this year. It's everybody. Every team just about across the country is dealing with that same thing. They have to now acclimate. I mean, can you think of a team that's even got like 60% of a starting lineup back? I mean, I'm sure there are some, but
yeah,
even like,
I mean,
like the big school, like
Houston. I don't know if Houston has 60%. They've got a couple of guys that are returning. They've got one dude. What's his name?
Uzan
withdrew from the draft and he's coming back.
Yeah.
And he'll be on, you know, on the team, but that's not 60% of their starting five.
I don't think they got 60% coming back. I don't know. Like, and again, there will be like that exists. I know it does, but like, it's not anybody that you can just think about. Pretty much everybody jumped into the portal or went to the NBA draft this year. Like, you know, that's everybody else moved around because the money's too big to, you know, to not try it essentially. And, you know, that's a conversation for another segment, but when we look at this stuff, like CBS put out their top 25 and one, they've got Houston two, because they just lost a player. Who did they, somebody jumped away from them. I can't remember who it was. Do you know, like, and I've lost track. BYU is their third ranked team right now. BYU.
I'm not surprised.
Their top 10 scores.
I am not surprised by that.
Starters, maybe they're the exception here. You know, their 26-year-old team that from a year ago is maybe they're all coming back. Maybe that's why they're up there. Maybe they're the exception to the rule we're talking about. But you know, well, no, Purdue, they're up there. So I'm looking at these rankings, Purdue, UConn, Florida. I don't know about starters, but a lot of them are returning players. So that's why. I mean, that's why you get those rankings, but I bet it doesn't finish that way. Right? Some of these teams are going to gel right away and be really good. All right, we'll come back. We got another hour of Sports Daily. Keep it here. It's all Brockton Caster. Don't go away.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
but not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.